Chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news, the gospel of the Lord."
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you ready? You know, there are a lot of contexts in which that gets asked. You can remember the Monday night football thing. Are you ready for some football? Are you ready? If students are asked that question, some of them will say, yeah, and others will say, not yet. But then they'll say, but I work better under pressure, right? We've probably all used that line at some time or other. Most of the time, it just means you've been procrastinating. But you've asked yourself that question. Are you ready? You've asked before you start a new job, before you get married, before you retired, and whatever else may have been part of your life. I don't know if it makes you feel any better, but today's gospel tells us that the same was true of Jesus. That question, are you ready? It's short, this gospel meeting, but it has three scenes: the baptism, the temptation, and the beginning of his ministry. It's about his identity and about his mission, about what he is in the world to accomplish. Now, we should notice that here Jesus seems to be coming just like everybody else for John's baptism. People are coming from everywhere, and Jesus comes from Nazareth for the same thing. And then when he comes up out of the water, there are two very dramatic things there, because the Gospel of Mark says Jesus saw this. Jesus saw the heavens torn apart, just like Isaiah had pleaded, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." The same kind of thing that happened when Jesus was crucified, when the curtain of the temple was torn, a ripping apart. And here it says Jesus saw that. And Jesus heard the voice. Not everybody, but Jesus, because the voice says, "You are." Not "this is" like a general announcement, but a word to Jesus. "You are my Son, the Beloved." The text shows us a quick switch then from the baptism to the wilderness to the ministry. The voice declares his identity, and I think in the wilderness he somehow comes face to face with his mission. Because he comes back from there and immediately starts with it. He heads to solitude. He is driven, in fact, the Greek says he's thrown out into the wilderness. That Greek word is like driven out there. And in the Bible, wilderness is, I guess we'd all know that, a fairly deserted place. It's a place where any number of times we find that shepherds are out in the wilderness with their flocks. That it's that kind of grazing place. I suppose people who first came to Wyoming, the Europeans who first saw this, thought this is wilderness, because a lot of places here you couldn't grow any corn. But it's the kind of place that was for that reason. When we were living in Aberdeen, South Dakota, there was a Catholic priest who was a friend. And he told me that one time he had decided that he should try some solitude. I don't know if this was the verse that persuaded him or not. But he went out by some little river, the White or the Bad River, or one of those out there, set up his tent and was going to spend a week out there in contemplation. He said it was the worst week of his life because it was all there were was bugs and heat and all that stuff. So he kept being distracted over and over again. So maybe that was for him a time of temptation. I don't know. So for Jesus, this here doesn't say in Mark what the content of the temptation was. It simply says that it was a temptation to somehow be something other than the Son of God. It was a temptation to face the options and the possibility of his life, both negative and positive. For 40 days he was in the wilderness. And it says he was with the wild beasts and the angels waited on him. I couldn't find any place in the Bible where wild beasts means threatening animals, means dangerous animals. It's just there are wild animals, wild beasts, and domestic animals. So some people read this as representing threat. Say he was out there threatened constantly during this time of temptation. Others say maybe it should be read as a time of relative harmony when he was there and was not threatened, as when the lion will lie down with the lamb, you know that passage, a little glimpse of the peaceable kingdom. We don't know. It could be read either way. But in that place, Jesus was away from human contact, and God cared for him by the means of angels, as was done in the Old Testament with Hagar, and then later with Elijah. And then we hear no more about John the Baptist. Well, except that he's arrested. Seems to be the end of his ministry, and then Jesus begins his own. And his message sounds a little the like. That is a call to repentance. But the difference is that Jesus says, now believe in the good news. John didn't say that. John was just the call to repentance. And now Jesus says, this is a new day. The time is fulfilled. Believe the good news. And repent, we've talked about this before. Repent doesn't mean feel bad. Repent, that goes with confession kind of stuff. The thing, lament and all of that. It may be a piece of it for any given individual or any given moment. But the whole idea of repent is to turn. And I've used the illustration before about if you're out on the highway and find you're going the wrong way, doesn't matter how bad you feel about it. The thing that counts is to get turned around and go the right way. And that's what the real theme of repentance is. It means to recognize that something is amiss, that something is heading the wrong way in your life. And to say you need to turn around. God is not eager to have you feel bad. God is eager to have you line up with the will and the purposes of God. So are you ready? You have been baptized. You have been identified as a child of God. Your baptism was like an ordination. I've said that before. We've all been ordained once. I've been ordained twice, as Pastor John also. But the first ordination, the first thing that sets you apart to be a servant of God was your baptism. And so that means every day facing the question. Every day, and for as long as you live, are you ready for that? Are you ready to be a child and a servant and a witness to what God wishes to do in the world? So what needs to be left behind? What viewpoints and connections with the way things are best left behind, faced, recognized, and then discarded. A searching look, you know, at what kind of things in our life, maybe because it's such a common theme these days, what kind of prejudices do we recognize from time to time? Oh yeah, that still is a part of me. That still is a part of me. And so what needs to be done to kind of get a little bit more alive? I don't know if we can ever get rid of them. We've grown up with them very often, and some of them just stick to us like glue. But maybe it's time to turn away from greed or from resentment or regarding other people with disdain. To believe in the good news means, for one thing, to stop believing in the bad news. Believe in all of the bad things that this world throws at us. So what does it mean to be beloved Son of God? The first reading gives a clue. Because it says God declares that God is making a covenant not just with Noah and some few of his descendants, but with every living creature of all flesh. Everything is in God's care and concern and desire. This is a world that we live in that specializes in dividing people, and that also tends to see such a huge degree between us and other creatures, we don't have to care for that much. But really we are, as it says in the book of Genesis, we are stewards. We are stewards, caretakers of the whole creation. And that all relates again to the Lenten theme I've announced, for the unity of all. And we can think of the amazing, inclusive ministry of Jesus. And think of St. Paul and what St. Paul says, there is no longer Jew and Greek, slave or free, male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. The good news includes challenge. One example I've given, and that is we get to see all people as our sisters and brothers. You get to dream. We get to dream of a mended creation. All things in harmony. Somebody said that first chapter of Genesis, that first creation story, is like a symphony where everything is, you know, all the instruments are brought in to play their part, and at the end of it, the whole creation is a harmonious symphony to the Creator. That's the kind of dream that we can have of the way we live in the world and see it. We get to be God's instrument to feed the hungry. We do that so well in Boulder, so in Buffalo too. I mean, so many things that the congregation has been involved in. Habitat for Humanity and Food Pantry and all kinds of other things. I'm not even going to try to name them. But all those things we get to do to be God's instrument, to feed the hungry, visit the imprisoned, and all the other things involved in the kind of ministry Jesus described in that last judgment parable. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. Sick and in prison and you visited me. The bad news is that as we do that, sometimes we feel we're batting our head against the wall. But we get to live out and even share the good news of God's love. And this is in a busy and distracted world. But in all of it, the good news, friends, is that God forgives our sin, brings us back from our wandering over and over again, frees us from all the powers that would lead us astray, and hangs on to us even when we might want to turn tail and run away. God's power is expressed toward us in grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and that is good news indeed. Amen.